Now we continue the reading from Ephesians. We're still in chapter 4, which is a key chapter. It's the transition chapter in a way, okay? And he starts with, we're starting with verse 17 because we've done the others. And it's very interesting what they say here. I'm going to read the first three verses, 17, 18, 19, together, and then comment on them, huh? This is Paul talking to the Ephesians. This then I declare and solemnly attest in the Lord. You must no longer walk as the pagans walk. Don't act like them. Walk means act. I think you know that. Now, what are they like? In the empty futility of their minds. What a curse. What's the latest buzz? Where's the stock market? What's the best film? Did you hear about the empty futility of their minds, being darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them? You see how he's, and this ignorance is caused by the hardness of their heart. Such people, devoid of any moral sensitivity, have given themselves over to unrestrained self-indulgence, carrying out every sort of impurity with a lust for more. That's a description of the pagan mind. And if you don't believe me, just turn on the TV. Everything there is superficial, and most of it tainted with some allusion to sex. And that's what he's talking about. The empty futility of their minds. The biggest buzz is, I don't know, what the batting average in so-and-so is, or that so-and-so out in Hollywood just got divorced, except that's hardly news anymore, you know. But the buzz, what's the buzz? What's all the... And whatever exciting thing it is by tomorrow, it's forgotten, and there's another exciting thing. That's the empty futility of their minds. What are you doing with your mind? You Christians, remember, you have a solemn obligation before God to take care of your mind, and no longer walk as the pagans walk. All the new magazines and all the new fashions and all the new whatever, all the news from the stock market, some of that's reasonable, but it grips, and there's no time for real thinking. One of the great Christian obligations, which we neglect, take care of your mind. Pay attention to what goes into it. When I was young, I was an altar boy when I was 6, and I was an altar boy for Father Dugan. And Father Dugan ran a study club for the women, and the whole point of it was this. Don't go around with empty futility of your mind, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. Now, why this ignorance of God? Why the nothing on your mind but who won the basketball game last night, if they're still playing basketball? Or the football or the baseball or whatever, you know? What's the latest going on in Hollywood? Ignorance that is in them caused by the hardness of their heart. Such people, devoid of any moral sensitivity, have given themselves over to unrestrained self-indulgence, carrying out every sort of impurity with a lust for more. It breaks your heart. That's the image of God, acting that way. You know, just become so superficial. What's the latest buzz? And it has to have something to do with sex, or at least with power, to be attractive. Truth. And we can all do it, you know. We don't stand on the sidelines and boo. We have to fight to get off that field and get onto another one. And that's what he's saying. You see? But as for you, it is not thus that you learned Christ. Did you learn Christ? Do you know what that means, to learn Christ? It's an interesting phrase, isn't it, huh? He says, it is not thus that you learned Christ, if you really heard him and were taught in him. Have you really listened? Do you really read the Bible? If you get stuck, do you get a nice, simple commentary? You don't need one of these massive things. Something to keep you interested and explain the text. What we're trying to do with these talks here, you see? To get you aware of what's going to be read out in church. So, it is not thus that you learned Christ. If you really heard him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus. That's the truth. It's in Jesus. You see this beautiful exhortation? Don't walk like, you no longer walk like the pagans walk. You know better. You're baptized. You've heard preaching. You're going to Mass every Sunday, I hope. Hearing the word, which is analogous to the body and blood of Christ itself. We all know that now. We've heard it. I've said it now for the last 3 weeks in a row from De Verbum, or Verbum Domini. Okay. If you really heard him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus. The truth is in Jesus. That is, so what did you learn? To put off your former way of life. The old man, which is deteriorating, this is a profound line. The old man is deteriorating through illusory and deceitful desires. We're falling apart. We're being pulled apart. Shall I go to the football game? Oh, no, I'll stay home and watch the movie. Shall I do the... Silly, nothing wrong with either one. But if that's all there is to your life, and then they get worse, alcohol and sex and power and they pull you apart. And pretty soon, you don't know if you have a center or not. You don't even know how to be sincere anymore. You don't know where your heart is. You can't come out of your heart. You don't know where it is. That's a frustration. You know, I love you, darling. Well, you got an emotion today. That's not love. You see? So the truth is in Jesus. That is, to put off your former way of life, the old man, which is deteriorating through illusory and deceitful desires. That's quite interesting, isn't it? Be renewed rather in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man, who is according to God, created in the righteousness and holiness of the truth. You looking for truth? Step right up. But you're going to pay a price for it. All these illusory desires, you've got to put them down. I mean, they're pulling you apart, and you don't even know at the end of the day what you did all day. And then there's fears and angers, you know, besides the desires for pleasure. And they pull you apart. You spend half the time at work complaining about the boss. Jesus hears that, you know. Is he perfect? I don't know. Any boss in the world is perfect. But you're pulling yourself apart. Now, the contrast. Putting off falsehood. First step into the truth, act the truth, speak the truth. The text says, the Greek text, alithemontes in agape. Where is that now? I just want to read it for you. Dinates kivisi, alithemontes in agape. Truthing in love is the literal translation of it. If you're not truthing, if you're not living a truthful life, if you're not speaking the truth, you see, speak the truth, each with his neighbor, because we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Some things should make you angry, but don't carry it to your bed with you. You know, resolve it. The sun should not go down on your anger. Why? Do not give an opening to the devil. You keep resentments going on in there, and man, you're the devil's playground. From that comes gossip, slander, angry talk, hatred in your heart, desire to do harm. It's a mess. And now he gives some examples. The one who steals should steal no longer. Now Paul has in mind, as he says in the next line, let him labor, working at something honest with his own hands, that he might be able to share with the one in need. Get a job. Work. And then you have a little extra money, give it to somebody who's crippled, can't work. You can share. In Thessalonians, if you remember, he says the same thing. I want everybody to be busy, but not busybodies. Work with your own hands and be quiet. That's a Christian virtue. We're not all so spiritual that we float in the air. We are until it comes supper time, and then all of a sudden, we're looking for supper. And if somebody hasn't prepared it, we're quite upset. You see? No foul word should come out of your mouth, but rather something that is good for building up as there is need, that it might confer grace on the hearers. What good advice, huh? Simple, direct, clear. And now he comes, takes a step deeper into your interior. And he says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Grieve the Spirit. How do we grieve the Spirit? We don't listen. And even when we have a good impulse, there's Joe. You've been mad at Joe for 2 weeks. He's over there. Go say hello. Shake his hand. Buy him a cup of coffee. No, not that guy. You see, you resist the Holy Spirit, who's trying to save your soul. Okay? Let all bitterness, rage, anger, shouting, and reviling be taken from your midst, along with all malice. Get rid of that stuff. He doesn't say, I know you're all saints. You know, I'm only talking just in case it happens. No. I'm talking to poor, sinful human beings who have just been invested with the very life of God and on their way to an eternity with God. So watch it. No bitterness, rage, anger, shouting, and reviling, along with all malice. Be kind to each other. Compassionate. Forgiving one another. The power in that forgiveness, right? I think I've told you that story of that American who was on the Bataan March in World War II, and then he was tortured, and there was a interpreter trying to get the information out of him for the, he was a Japanese. And so the man, years later, you know, 40 years later, thought of that interpreter was part of the torturing process. And he went to look for him back in Japan to forgive him. Now, what moved him? The Holy Spirit. Right? You see? Forgiving each other as God forgave you in Christ. And then he sums it all up. Be imitators of God. What does our Lord say? Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Are we ever going to make it? No. But it's worth trying, isn't it? And walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself over for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for a pleasing sacrifice. What did Jesus do for us? What did he do for you? He died on the cross and prayed that your share in that suffering would be forgiven you. Father, forgive them. It wasn't just the guys who crucified him. It's all our sins. When that notion gets through to us, our hearts break. We finally say, there is no one I will not forgive. Ever. When I understand how I have been forgiven. And what my sin really is, seen through the eyes of Christ, and see the immensity of his love, people, when that happens to them, they burst out crying. And that's the gift of tears. St. Teresa of Avila speaks of that. All right? That's Ephesians.